It is in this ascension that you will become more like me, the Son of God, who is made purely in the image and identity of that powerful one. God has a form of immense size and of a blinding glow beyond description. While it is true that the Father, Mother is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, do not forget that God has an enduring and passionate love for everything of its creation. God is not a gaseous vapor nor a nebulous, formless something. It is from the perfect love and immense power of this indescribable being that you are born as souls, as children of the cosmos. Blessed are those who choose to believe, for the power and love of this great one are beyond telling. Yes, you are the children of a great being who loves you. Most importantly, our parent is personally directing your destiny through us at this time when we would have you return home. Only those dedicated and willing souls on Earth who are assisting the planet Earth's rise nearer to God, only those of loving disposition and intention, are welcome there. I tell you, my dear ones, your parent is a beautiful being of light beyond description in your language. But perhaps you can sense this from the simple remarks I have made? Let every doubting heart open wide to acknowledge that your parent exists, for those who persist in denying this indescribable first cause deny their own identity, and through free will they will be deeply wounded by false choosing. Again, hear what I say. In denying God's origin you deny your own. This is what causes the mortal error leading to spiritual retardation. You either live within the love that God extends or by your denial move outside of that immense love, and not just for these few years you call life. It's love and imagination. In my universe there is only the perfect love I described to you while part of my energy was on Earth as Jesus. Those who are privileged to live there find it heaven, indeed. There are additional universes which were experiments following that first one. There is a second universe in which the Creator made all beings of female nature, or the love and nurturing side of God, and the third universe which has only male attributes or the will, power and active aspects of God. Both of these universes are of such a high vibration you could not see them with the human eye, just as most earth dwellers cannot see me and the angelic hosts. In those separate universes, both the males or females could independently reproduce offspring with the breath, even as God ordained it, and needed not a sexual, physical counterpart. This is a spiritual dimension strange to your own body limitations, I realize, but it is nonetheless true. Those who have difficulty with the so-called virgin birth may see it now in a new light. The fourth universe was created following the experience in which the male and female principles were separated from each other. They were recombined in the fourth universe since love and power should be together and not kept apart. This is a soul essence and quality that I speak about, not your dense physical flesh which came eons later after the other universes were completed. Then they were made by the father/mother's breath, even as the first four universes came forth, a series of specialized planets where particular qualities or functions were stressed in both the male and female beings. In the fifth universe was developed the power of mind thought, which is different from intellect. Let me clarify that in God all are of one mind and are whole. When spirit leaves God's mind to experience life in matter worlds, it then has separated minds capable of individual soul experience. Yet this entire universe kept one primary, unified thought, or intention, to love God, paramount, even though the souls were separated. By your standards this was miraculous. In humans, then, you need a love purpose to direct energy into thought or you will misuse it. A thought is energy moving its intention into reality. A thought is alive. God's thought is energy in a single focused creation. It does not analyze or break things down into separate parts as does human intellect. On Earth many of your technologists have great intellects, but not wholesome minds. Mind requires a heart's love for wholeness. Intellect is only 50% of thought. When intellect and intuition or God-knowingness are combined, there is perfect balance. In that fifth universe all inhabitants did so well they were allowed to return to the Creator en masse and it is now an unpopulated area in what you call space. Of all the many creations, only these of the fifth universe were never lured into temptation away from God as an entire group. Although there are isolated examples elsewhere of this great God love in the mind of his created ones, never did an entire universe grasp the love principle and practice it so perfectly. It is there you ought to emulate, dear ones, so you can also go home together. But, of course, this took eons to demonstrate, and the Creator had been busy making other universes in the meantime. The sixth universe is a place where the miniaturization of life forms was stressed, so the inhabitants are tiny in size, the planets are smaller than most, and the beings love God devotedly as their acts of producing beautiful natural things, such as flowers, prove. The descendants of these tiny creations living on your Earth's etheric plane, often called nature spirits by those with the clairvoyant power to see them, are dedicated to bring flower and plant life to its highest form. These little workers are purely devoted to their task of beauty and have never strayed from the function for which they were created. In the seventh universe of 8 million planets, 1 million inhabited, the male and female beings were focused solely in the area of intellectual expertise, mathematical science primarily. Because of this great emphasis upon the gaining of scientific knowledge, there was no love side to their nature for one another or for the Creator. Here it was learned that intellect in male or female without the balance of heart love is not desirable. This seventh universe is still functioning, but the citizens are yet paying off a debt to God which I cannot describe at this time. Suffice it to say, all must accept that science is a God-made thing, not the work of mere mortals who claim it as theirs. A true scientist can only discover a universal law or principle to fulfill life's function and use it for the good of all. In fact, every scientist is obligated to seek reverently for God's principles, with the intention of applying them only for the common good. In the eighth universe of 4 million planets, our Creator caused a million to be inhabited and did a variety of experiments to understand the effects of the rays upon matter. Here some beings were given almost X-ray vision, others were imbued with the rays of heat, magnetism and electricity and were able to oscillate, to levitate. I will say only that there were many different experiments made to learn the effects from various kinds of temperature changes, effects from with only 10% of some 900 planets inhabited, they spent their time thinking and learning. In their theological colleges they would study these different teachings, in an intellectual way, seeking to know God with the mind alone. But dissecting God to find the heart of love gains little, and this was their learning gift to those of you who follow. Knowing man's mental definitions of the Creator and experiencing that love in the heart are two very different things. And it was my purpose here 2,000 years ago to bring the experience and teachings of love back to earth again, as others had done before and since. Now a very sad, sad tale. The 11th universe of mechanism could not have existed save for the focus on engineering. However, of the men and women from these million and a half planets, all but those on 2 planets were decimated by war. For in that time and place, with the great inventiveness of thought without love's influence, their designs led to military uses. Although the warfare was carried out primarily by the machines they had invented, at least 860 of God's planets, themselves, were almost decimated by the violence. What a loss that this seething conglomeration of equipment and metallic instrumentation was harnessed only to the forces of a destructive nature and created havoc beyond description. It was permitted because of free will, just as your planet has free will. But, although they feared God, they held no heart love to soften their inventive genius. It happened, then, that the life forms chose machinery over God, their inventions became their masters, and they could never regain control over their equipment, their monstrous images made real. Perhaps you recognize some influence of that experiment in the 11th universe with what your own 12th universe is doing? Those of you who inhabit the planet Earth, along with about 500 other 12th universe planetary forms, and now caught up in that possible destructive aspect of engineering mechanization. Of course, most other planets are superior to Earth in technology, but you refuse to acknowledge this fact along with their interdimensional presence. Where do you think UFOs or flying saucers come from? Since you have the mixture in this 12th universe of all the other 11 in varying amounts and combinations, your 12th universe is a potpourri. It is all here from those trillions of years of learning and growth that has already transpired before time was. Your 12th universe is the largest of all that has preceded you. It has the greatest variety of learning possibilities to use, and the most tremendous opportunity to learn from past mistakes and past glories. All strengths and weaknesses of these past experiences are available to you. Then you must choose wisely in your universe and competently amalgamate or synthesize the best of it all, denying that ill-fated mechanization which manifested so widely and destructively in the 11th universe. You, as humanity, must focus more clearly on love than ever before if you wish to return to God purified of violence. For return is scheduled, soon, but only the loving ones can proceed. Now, are you interested to learn what your own universe's history has been over these past millions of years? Especially the 8 million years as it applies to the planet you live upon? Then let us pause a moment, together, in the Creator's love, and ponder what has been shared. I wish to speak about your own solar system which is in the 12th universe, and about your so-called space programs. You might ask your scientists who send astronauts and instruments looking for other life to expand their own consciousness and stop wasting so much money looking for things in the third dimensional world. Most life on the other planets operates in the etheric levels of the fourth dimension and beyond. That which does not would not wish your warlike attitudes to locate them anyway. So, your three-dimensional eyes and instruments are blind. You are like a person standing in a brightly lit room with blindfolds on. So do not be surprised that you do not find life as you know it on the planets in your own solar system. You look in the wrong place out of ignorance. The very fact that you are spiritually blind means that your adventures in space will leave you more perplexed than satisfied. When your own consciousness advances into fourth-dimensional realities, you will see many others, including those of us who are awaiting the reversal of your amnesia. Yes, spiritual amnesia is what you have, and looking for other physical life while in this state means certain defeat because of the way you establish your space projects. I have admonished you as a group not to take violence or weaponry of any kind into space, but it is permitted to pursue totally peaceful research projects of a truly reverent or scientific nature. However, unless you are wise enough to select a captain and crew with several clairvoyants among them, do not expect to see other life. Sad to relate, your Earth citizens are nearly the lowest form of consciousness in the known solar system at this time, which is why the Earth is being bombarded with the high frequency of light vibrations in hope of awakening a sleeping race. All of heaven in its multidimensional reality is presently involved in an enormous expenditure of energy that you are incapable of grasping, and apparently, for the most part, of even appreciating. Nonetheless, we will continue to follow God's decree to assist all who will awaken during this 18-month special grace period which began on August 1, 1985. That is why I have said, and will repeat again and again, that time is critical to you. For these additional energies of love and power that come to you represent one of the greatest commitments that millions of us beyond your sight are giving. They are the same type of consciousness acceleration that your so-called Renaissance times in Europe and the other golden ages of wisdom in the Orient and elsewhere represent, only multiplied by a much higher factor. The fact that most people are not even vaguely aware of this energy tells more limited and unaware than we knew. Yet we have made a promise which will be kept so that none will be lost who chooses to awaken. Be advised that the increase in energies to your planet has those who are alert and cooperating with us, so that the aware ones are subtly over halfway between the third and fourth dimensions, but an average of 3.6 out of 4 per time hour, the light workers will be growing close to fourth dimensional consciousness. The many others who wait to awaken until later in this century probably cannot do so without pain and suffering. The longer the personality resists its awakening, the more profound the experiences the soul must bring to ignite awareness. For some people this may be very intense. Therefore, choose now and avoid a need for this unpleasantness later on. Your soul will probably put your personality to the test of self-mastery, for it was this achievement you desired. Those who have been meditating and can now receive other dimensional telepathic contact from us may already have surpassed the 4.0 figure I have shared. For it is during your daily meditation periods that you bring the cleansing of limited thoughts and open yourself to the broader, more universal content of all that God is. For what God is you are becoming, though it is shadowed in the darkness and ignorance of illusion. This is your opportunity for transformation. If you could receive $1 trillion and every other wish of your personality's earthly desires, I tell you that the gift of God's energy at this time greatly surpasses it all. Not that you should not have money for food and things that represent God's abundance, but if you make of them your full-time pursuit and give only attention to the material things in unreasonable proportion, then you deal in idols of a false reality,